Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on you, bruvs. I'm Ronnie. Guess who I'm with? Handsome, talented, charming, adorable, sweet, Ben. Ben.
Hi.
Hi, Benoons. How are you, babe?
I'm great, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing so great. Just pulling my notes up for the next Below Deck of the week. Very excited to get into it. Huge stuff happened, guys. Huge stuff. I just want to call people slob monsters more.
I just want to make little onion towers and create drama with them. That's what I want to do.
Teppanyaki, what a bitch, am I right? God. If you have a child and that child looks like it's going to be a bitch, name it Teppanyaki. Tell me
that right now. You know what? Fuck these people for ordering teppanyaki on a yacht. I'll get into it.
That.
I'm
actually
ready.
Fuck people for ordering fuck teppanyaki everyone. Everywhere. What are we, a bunch of seals? Like, what do we? You need food thrown into your mouth? Oh, fuck off.
I'll tell you who won't be ordering teppanyaki on a yacht. Tori Spelling, that's for sure. Yeah, remember when she fell over onto the at Benihana?
That was the hibachi. She fell over into the hibachi grill. And I remember I used to make jokes about that all the time. And someone was like, oh my God, I cannot believe you would do this to Tori Spelling. Do you know what pain that must have been? I was like, yeah, it's a joke. Like, who falls into a fucking hibachi? You know what I mean? I'll never forget that. That was something that someone got mad at me about that I was like, you know what? Fuck you. Because usually I'm like, I can see where you're right in that. But that one, I was like, no, fuck her. And her Benihana supporting ass. She's alive. It's not like she died in it, okay? If they ate Tori Spelling after she fell on the hibachi grill, then it would be insensitive. But she's fine. She found a trailer to live in. She's doing just fine. Get off my ass.
She is doing just fine. I just want to say also... Didn't this start off with being like, wow, like that sucks for her? And I'm like, fuck her. She's rich and she's got doctors, okay? Put some Vaseline on her.
She's not rich. That's the thing. You're not allowed to make fun of poor people. But I figure, listen, we make fun of Gina all the time, and we make fun of all the people on this show. So whatever, people, get off my ass. No one's on my ass. I don't know why I'm being
why are we like this today? We're just
because I'm in a really good mood. And when I'm in a really good mood, like my hobby
we're
is
just going
being
off
evil,
on things.
You know?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
So today we are talking Below Deck Down Under, which, you know, all season long we've been talking about the underwater stock footage that they have, which has been really excellent. Like it's getting to the place where it's like rivaling our planet, to be honest. And this episode was so good. I mean, I thought it would be hard to top the two sharks sitting together on the floor last week. The fact that they found two sharks on the floor, on the seafloor, just hanging out, holding hands, holding fins. I was like, nothing can really top that. And then tonight, there were four or five amazing fish moments on this show. Like, so good. I'm thrilled. And so I have my underwater camera on behind me today, and I'm thinking, but it's a little bland. There's no fish today. So I'm going to like maybe try to find a different backdrop because I really want to honor the great work they did on Below Deck with their fish camera work.
Well, I love that. And they have been doing a good job. We need to have like a whole crappies section this year of best fish shot from Below Deck Down Under specifically. They can have their own awards section because there's
best
a lot
fish.
They've put a lot of work into it, you know.
Yeah,
so it is Below Deck Down Under day, guys. It's two shows a week still. The earlier one was this week. Go find it, okay? If you haven't listened to it, look for it because it's fun. Also, we're doing a ton of stuff this week because Bravo is on full tantrum mode, okay? They're throwing a tantrum. They're like, we've got so much content, you're gonna watch all of it, damn it. Orange County, Atlanta. What was that?
That was
breaking news.
That was me trying to find different fish footage. I didn't realize there would be music.
That green screen, really. I've never seen someone enjoy a gift to themselves more than Ben and that fucking green screen.
Ronnie was like, Ben, you should get a green screen. You should get a green screen. I was like, I don't really want to get a green screen. He's like, you should get one. So I'm like, fine, I'll get a green screen. And now that I have it, I have been a child and I play with it incessantly. And you don't even use your green screen anymore. And I'm constantly doing stuff with my green screen.
You know what? I found it exhausting after a while.
You know why?
Because like, I'm literally exhausted.
You know why? Because yours doesn't live permanently behind you, right? You have to actually pull it out, does. Right?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's behind me right now. I just have to pull it up. But yeah, oh, it's there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. I'm just too lazy. And then I come into the office every day and I trip over it because it's this big fucking thing on the floor and I never see it. And I have big giant Flintstone feet. Anyway, the point is, a lot of stuff to listen to, so go listen to that. Also, this is on video, as are all of our recaps now. You can find those at patreon.com. They're under our Crappens on Demand section. A section lower than that is our bonus episode section. We're going to record that later today. Those are always super fun. Those are weekly. So if you want to watch us instead of just listen to us, just do it. Go to patreon.com/watchofcrappens. Also, Monday nights, every other Monday night, including this coming Monday night, the 20th of September, at 5:30 Pacific time, 8:30 Eastern time, we're doing Instagram live shows. And those are super fun. Working on the audio to get those pro sounding. But it looks like this week we're going to be taking questions throughout the show. And then the last 15 minutes or so is just going to be a speed round of you guys coming on video and chatting with us. So join us. Those are really fun happy hours for us to meet you guys to meet us, you guys to call us, you know, names, whatever you want to do. Okay, that's enough of that. Oh, also, Southern Charm comes back this week. So yeah. We will also be back for that and Real Housewives of Orange County later this week. Okay, let's get into it. We start with a stingray, which is very, very scary. Mm. Now, you know someone who owes us all an apology? A stingray, because they took Steve Irwin from us, and they took it to be on TV. So anybody who's mad about me making Tori Spelling falling on hibachi jokes, why don't you write Below Deck Down Under for using a stingray, because they're worse.
Stingrays are basically the Tory Spellings of the ocean. And by the way, there was one just behind me right now because I put on a live cam from the Monterey Aquarium and it has all the fish in the world and there's so much happening behind me. It is literally the best. But I'm going to try to focus on actually doing a podcast.
You
know what?
I saw a shark behind you. Which
there was like three sharks. Disturbing. There was a stingray. There was like a giant red fish. I am like, wow, Monterey Aquarium's got it going on.
And those other fish in there are just like, they just have to live a life where they know that they're going to get eaten any moment. And they're just chill. Like you're hanging
out with
your hamburger. Look,
there's a shark literally behind me.
Yeah.
Look.
And no one's even running away from the shark.
That shark probably has an inferiority complex. That shark is like, wow, I just don't really. That's probably like a shark that has dealing with toxic sharkulinity.
Sharkulinity.
Because it's like, wow, I should be in a place in my life where people like care, like are impressed by me and, you know, I should have a house and like be eating all these fish and no one's even scared of me. And
I know whenever you ask somebody to take a picture of him, like at a theme park or whatever, he's like, would you take it really close up? I want to look big. He's holding up like a doll of a little fish. It's like, could you take it in front of this? So I look gigantic.
None of the fish are afraid of that shark. And yet it's getting paid more than everyone else. It's like, wait, why is that? It's like, sorry, patriarchy, sharkriarchy.
Sorry, I'm a tiny shark. Specialty.
Yeah, we'll have a smaller
special
tail.
Skills.
Look at that giant tail. Calm down.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get to
there's
it.
An actual show. So Stingray. And then we have Aisha checking in on Jamie because, in case everyone forgot, Jamie is crying in the bathroom because she was upset that Harry butt in about Margot being on service for the final charter of the season.
Right. She's upset because Aisha didn't consult with her first about putting Margot on for the last, whatever. She was already upset and then Harry had to get into it. So she's all upset, crying in the bathroom. And so Aisha's just doing that thing like your mom does when you're crying as a kid. Just like, are you okay? But it's that way, like, you know, you could get your ass kicked, but Aisha does it in that way that is almost guilting you for crying in the first place. She's going to be a great parent. Are you okay?
Do you want to come out? Do you want to play with the other children?
It's like she's asking, are you okay, while she's bungee jumping from like a cliff all the way down to the bottom of the ocean.
Do you know Aisha's going to be on the new season of Winterhouse, by the way?
Can I tell you, I saw the picture of the new Winterhouse. Thank God they changed Winter House up and they're using different people other than those tired ass Summer House slags.
Yeah.
Those guys are disgusting from that show. And I mean male slags. Like, the women are all good on that show, but the men, ugh, disgusting. They still have Kyle and Amanda on there, I guess, right, to be the parents or whatever. But this, I think, year, so they're doing it with some Family Karma and Below Deck people.
And also, what's her face? Well, there was Katie Flood from Med. Malia is on there. So Aisha, I think Aisha and Riley are there, but they're not like full-fledged cast members. I think they come in for a few episodes. Captain Sandy makes an appearance. Tom Schwartz is, yeah, Tom Schwartz is on it.
Captain Sandy fucking. What if Captain Sandy comes on and fucks Tom Schwartz on Summer House?
I think she's just in for like an episode, like they go skiing with her or something.
Well, he Alex, is entering his late in life lesbian mode. Have you seen him with his Draco Malfoy haircut?
Yeah.
And his, everyone, like, weird Gadzook sweaters or whatever he's doing now. I mean, I could see Captain Sandy going there and cheating on her wife.
This is the downside of the Barbie movie craze is Tom Schwartz with bleach blonde hair. So, yeah. So, Jordan from Summer House, Martha's Vineyard is on it. And also Alex from Below Deck, Sailing. It's a whole hodgepodge of people. Corey from Summer House is on there.
Gross.
Yeah. Right.
Glad they're still giving, you know, out of the closet transphobes jobs. That's super fun. Good job, Bravo.
Yeah.
But otherwise, nice changing it up. I look forward to that. I look forward to a season of hating on Malia on a different show. I mean, it's like a gift to me. I can't wait till she narcs on her first person.
Well, guess who Malia's into?
Someone has a weed bin.
Well, Malia's into Corey, so get excited for that.
Of course she is, because trash attracts trash. That's why when you see trash in the ocean, it's all coagulated together in a big ball. Fucking trash and trash.
Trash Island.
Well, I'm already furious about this.
I love it.
You totally got me riled up for this.
I love it.
Of course they ended up together. I thought Corey was still with What's Her Bangs.
Well, that's going to be an issue on the show.
She's like, I saw her in some interview the other day. What's her name?
Sam.
Sam.
Sam will be on the show, too.
In case anybody doesn't know what we're talking about, Sam and Corey are a couple from Summer House. Both, I mean, she was fine. But she was on an interview the other day, and she's like, you know, people just don't understand, like, how hard it is being a reality star, like being a couple in a reality world, but then you understand each other because you're both in that world. Sam, shut up. You started dating before you were anything. You hadn't even been on the show hadn't even aired yet. She's talking like she's accepting her lifetime fucking achievement award.
I know. Stupid Sam. So that was the update about Aisha. She will be on Winter House in some capacity. So anyway,
I hope her boyfriend's sleeping outside in the van. Hashtag van life. Her boyfriend's just outside shitting in a bucket. Can I let him in?
she's on the new spinoff Winter Van.
The poor people from Bravo all put together in one van. Let's see what happens.
Oh God. So Zarina is, she's like, so is Harry basically saying you should be on service? And Margo's like, well, no, you said that I've been working really hard and I deserve to do service again. And Harry's like, what's wrong with it? And Margo's like, I don't know.
Yeah, she's like, honestly, I don't even know. The problem is you are shoving someone else who worked really hard to get that position off of their position by being like, oh, I'm just Margo. I should get to do it. Now, on the other hand, I do really just like Margo, and I do think she can do it, and they can give her a chance, but I don't know. I don't know where I stand on this, because
I know, I'm vacillating, and I realize
I hate both siding things, but I really do like Margo, and I want her to have a chance, and like I said in the last episode, I've never seen someone more excited to clean a toilet than Jamie. Like, I've never seen someone get that defensive about it. But, you know, I guess they should have consulted her. But then at the same time, when does your boss ever consult you for shit? Like, I've never had that happen. So, I don't know. I don't know where I fall.
Yeah, I don't know either. But Joelle's like, well, it's not fair for Jimmy to not be on service because she's earned it. She's worked the whole time up to that. Okay, you know, Zimbabwe didn't just start with a Zim. It used to just be called Bobway. And it worked its way up to get a Zim. You got to work in life.
Put the Vim in Zim. Am I right? So also, Joao, this is shame on you. And speaking of Captain Sandy, you know Captain Sandy's at home watching this, like cuddling with Tom Schwartz on a couch. And she's like, you know what? Joao's from my show, Below Deck Med. And I always taught him about lifting people up and giving people chances, which is why he's as high up in the world as he is now. Because was Joao always a bosun, or didn't she move him up in the world?
She moved him up.
You see, and look at him now. Like, oh, it's not fair for someone else to get moved up. Now, yeah. I know that I'm vacillating, but Joao should be in support of other people moving up, because your ass was saved by someone named Captain. Captain Sandy. Joao's
not that type of person. He's not that type of person. Although he might have done it for Adam. He really seemed to really enjoy Adam because he worked hard.
Because they both had similar, like, I have to beat up people for my brother storylines.
Yeah, they're both, like, blonde. So, honestly. So, Margo's like, well, how am I going to learn? Which, by the way, it's like, that's true. But also, that's not the yacht's responsibility. Like, you could have been learning all this time. But I'm like, how is she going to learn? So, Zarina's like, well, you're going to learn on your next boat. That's what you're going to do. And Margo's like, yeah, but... So I should never have a chance at service as a greenie? Is that so fair?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I don't think anybody's saying she shouldn't get a chance. I think it's just the way it was handled, right?
Yeah.
Like, no one's like, you shouldn't get a chance. Even Jamie's like, you should get a chance. It's just like, I would kind of like to know. I mean, I've been on this job for 4 weeks, and you guys have kicked me off 2 weeks to do laundry. And then today, I've embarrassed myself, the worst I've ever been embarrassed, because I was in laundry. So fuck you double. Which hasn't happened yet. This is future Jamie.
Future Jamie.
This. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Margo's like, yeah, how am I going to learn? And Joao's like, well, for example, and I mean, respect you, Kulver, but Kulver was lead deckhand for one charter. I'm sorry you didn't have the experience. You just didn't. I'm so sorry. Sorry about that. You just didn't have the experience. You had to drop down, and we had to get someone else inside because you couldn't do it. Typical fucking Joao making this about him. Okay. This is not about you, Joao, okay? And this is not about you dissing somebody else. Also, this is the episode where Joao comes back and shows that he's not really changed at all. So welcome home, by the way.
Welcome home, Joao. Yeah, he's basically like, he kind of like just uses this as a way to just go after Kulver, which, by the way, I appreciate going after Kulver. That's fun. But also, like, so I'm confused about this because my recollection was that Kulver was a lead deckhand for like 24 hours, and it was in between charters because Luke was fired. Kulver took over. He sort of stood around on deck for a little bit, and then Joao came in the very next day. So it makes me wonder if there was something that was edited out of the season, you know, because Kulver at that time also was like, wow, I feel like he acted like this opportunity was a longer opportunity that he was demoted from. And I was always like, why is he, this is strange. It was only for like half a day that he was like this. Why is he acting like this? Well, I wonder if there was a larger experience that we just never got to see.
He did say you were lead deckhand for one charter and you didn't have the experience, so you had to drop down. So I think he knew. He's saying like you had the opportunity and you blew it and you had to move down. Just like Margo had the opportunity and she got wasted and she got moved down. I think that's what he's saying. I'm trying to use my Joao language. I just want to really
hear
the woman's feelings while I do it. Because that's really the only way to live the experience. And I'm super method. So,
yeah. Either way, Joao's basically saying, like, you can learn on the job and you have to earn it. Well, he's basically saying, like, you have to earn your way to the top. And it's hard. Just look at Kulver because he couldn't do it.
Yeah. He's basically saying, this fight over here, let me tell you what this is about. Kulver sucks. Okay. That's what this is. Kulver has abs and I don't. And so I hate him and want him to die. Okay. And so Culver's like, that's your opinion, man. And he's like, that's the truth. And Culver's like, but you know what? There's a lot of moments you don't see. You know, I think they just edited me bad. But I'm here in real time. It's not me watching a show. Nah, that's a bad edit. Culver, the first person to blame a bad edit. He's like, they just don't show you stuff that I'm doing. That's all.
And he's like, yeah, but I could still be a lead deckhand if Luca wasn't here. And Joe's like, well, I told you right from the start. It's all about initiative. That's why Luca is here. He lived on the second floor and we said, get over in here. And he did that. And guess what? He's so much better than you. And honestly, I've heard a little bit hotter. I don't know because I'm straight.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
I want you to picture Steve Jobs tinkering with a computer in his garage. Walt Disney drawing cartoons for his high school newspaper. Every big moment starts with a big dream, but what happens when that dream turns out to be an even bigger failure? Each week on Wondery's new podcast, The Big Flop, host Misha Brown is joined by different comedians to chronicle some of the biggest failures and blunders in pop culture history. Each episode will have you thinking, why in the world did this get made? From box office flops like Cats the Movie to Action Park, New Jersey's infamous theme park that had countless injuries, many lawsuits, and rides so wild it became known as Class Action Park. Or Quibi, that short-form video platform with an even shorter lifespan. It's a story of a spectacular failure with lots of surprises along the way. Enjoy The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus. Hey, listeners, you need to know that Wondery's shocking true crime podcast Over My Dead Body is back for a fourth season, Gone Hunting. This newest season covers the story of Mike Williams. It was Mike's sixth wedding anniversary when he set off on a hunting trip into the gator-infested swamps of North Florida. He figured he'd be back in time to take his wife Denise out to celebrate, but he never came back. Friends and loved ones feared he met his fate through bad luck and a group of hungry alligators, leaving his young family behind. Except that's not what happened at all. And after 17 years, a kidnapping, and the uncovering of a secret love triangle, the truth would finally be revealed. Enjoy Over My Dead Body, Gone Hunting on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of Over My Dead Body early and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Get started with your free trial at wondery.com/plus.
And now Margot leaves because the boys have completely made this about herself. So she's crying now. And so Serena's running off to help her cry. And it's really sweet how the girls all back each other on this boat.
Yeah.
I like it. We say it, I think, every episode, but it's nice. You know, we do a lot of housewives. And so watching this is like a nice break from all of that.
Yeah. Zarina's like, oh, Margo, I didn't mean to upset you, but it is pretty funny to me. And she's like, well, that's, you know, this is what I didn't want to do. And she's like, well, why is it upsetting you that much? What's wrong with you? Did you have to make an onion tower or something like that? I mean, what could possibly bother you this much?
It's like, because everyone's telling me that I shouldn't have asked to do it. And like, it's wrong. Did I want to work service? And she's like, to do what? Did you ask to go to service? I didn't realize you asked. She's like, yeah, I did ask, you know. And like, I feel like you guys feel like it was wrong for us to switch. It's just, it's not wrong. It's not wrong at all. It's up to Aisha. What are you crying? do you know what it's like to try to get a shrimp into somebody's mouth from the tip of your knife? That's difficulty, right?
There's no crying in teppanyaki. Oh, wait, actually, there is. There's no crying in not teppanyaki. There we go. So Aisha's now talking to Jamie, and yeah. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And Jamie's like, no, I'm so fine, even though I'm crying and I'm really angry at you right now. I'm so fine. I'm happy for Margot, even though I did just cut up all her blouses. You know, I'm happy for her to be on service. It's just, you know, I work my ass off. That's it.
And Aisha's like, you know, you worked your ass off. I get it. And you're the service girl. And that's why you're here, because you're so good at it.
But it's just when she came to me, I could see that she just so wanted to prove herself. And I thought, fuck, if I don't give her this chance, who will?
I mean, it's so hard for white women with blonde hair to ever get opportunities.
They never make it in your team.
And Jamie's like, well, if it was anyone but Margot, I'd be like, fuck that bitch. And then she's like, please, no, it's not zero to do with your performance. And so they hug. And she's like, no, go drink a bottle of champagne and take a dive, darling. You've earned it.
Someone on Patreon said, I guess the phrase is 8 hours from bottle to throttle. I guess that's how you remember the
rules. Oh, I didn't know what that comment meant. I saw that and I was like, what the fuck does that mean? Of course, my first instinct is like, to be like, throttle me. Dare you?
Who wants to throttle me? I love that you got offended by that.
I was kind of sleepy, you know, I was kind of like coming out of it. I'm like, bottle the throttle, the fellow, fuck you.
To be fair, that is actually something that happened to Kim Richards.
Good morning. Bottle of throttle. Go fuck yourself, Kyle. You want to talk about the husband?
So Serena comes in for a little cuddle, and Jamie comes in, and Jamie's like, don't cry, Margot. Margot's like, but I feel bad. And then Jamie, which I just have to say, weaponizing your tears. Margot, that's some tear weaponizing. She's like, but wait a minute. I'm like, you're the one who won here. You got the shift. You don't get to cry. You're the one who said, you should say sorry without crying. So then Jamie's like, oh, stop, you know. She's like, are you mad at me? And she goes, no, I'm not mad at you at all. No, I'm fine. It's fine. And Aisha's like, oh, my God, you know, it's just fucking, this is all Harry digging with his fucking comments. And this is where they turn Harry into being the biggest gossip queen of all time, which I've never noticed until they started saying it in these episodes.
Yeah, they make him into like this big meddler and everything. So meanwhile, Joao and Zarina are actually going to head out on their date now, because this is all happening before they even all go out. So Joao is excited. He goes, you know, since my breakup, I haven't been emotionally connected to someone for a very long time. Well, that I guess I was emotionally invested in a little tourism pamphlet for Zim, but who wouldn't be? But do
the
I like
the longest
her?
Time I was in love with the lady who was paragliding on the front of the Zim pamphlet. Fortunately, she turned out to be a bitch or slut, and so I've left her.
But anyway, I have been emotionally isolated, which is why they've hired me to write the column on Lonely Planet for Zimbabwe.
He is so full of shit. Isn't this his storyline every single season? That he's tortured. Just come on, and some girl has just completely fucked him over, and now he's so depressed and has no trust in women. It's every single time. It's like straight from the fuckboy playbook.
This is the fuckboy playbook, because it gives the fuckboy a reason to say, hey, I just want to take it slow.
I'm damaged.
Oh. Yeah, I wasn't ready. It's like too fast. Well, you're like crazy. She's like a crazy one. She's crazy.
Wait on me. So he's like, do I like her? I do. But I feel that she's hiding. She just needs to tell me how she feels so I can tell her how I feel and we can figure it out from there. She's telling you how she feels every 5 seconds. If someone told me as much as she does about how she feels, I would have broken up with them already. All she does, I'm scared. I have my walls up because I'm worried because you fucked my friend over. I just don't know how I feel about you because you fucked my friend over. Are we about to have sex? I'm not sure how I feel about that because I know that you're a fuckboy. She's literally telling you what she feels every 5 seconds. Don't pretend she's not telling you what she feels.
Yeah, and the thing of the Joao is he has actually a perfect read on her. He knows that she's not really being honest. Like, what she says and how she's acting are two different things. And we can all see. She likes him, but she's scared, so she's putting up walls and defenses. He sees this, but he's very concerned with kind of busting her, like breaking her down so she admits it, rather than just like saying like, okay, I see her vibe. I'm going to prove her. I'm not going to make it feel safe for her. Instead, he was trying to constantly confront her, as we're going to see on the date. So, like, fuck you, Zim. Not Zim. Zim is wonderful. Fuck you. Just Joao. So, now Harry's asking Jamie if he upset her. And she's like, well, you know, you did for a minute, but it's fine. Because then I remembered I've actually never even talked to you. You're kind of, like, not in my class. So I'm just going to go back to forgetting exactly who you are. Okay, sorry, boy.
And he's like, but you're sweet now, aren't you? Oh, you know, I didn't mean it. I don't know how things work in interior. She says, I know you don't. Clearly.
She gets that evil look on her face. I'm like, damn. She just, like, shot him down. Yeah. So then Serena and Joao are taking selfies in the van, and she's telling us how she loves Joao, or she really likes Joao. He's been the perfect guy, but I have these warning signs that he's only been here a few weeks. I mean, you can't see someone's true self in a few weeks. You can. You actually can. Anybody who's watched Below Deck knows you can see him pretty quickly. He showed his ass pretty quickly and way sooner than a few weeks.
It's called a snap judgment, not a 1863 camera slowly developing judgment. Okay. By the way, did you notice the crab?
That's a digital picture snap judgment. This is digital snap.
That was not an old fashioned Polaroid.
That is not a tintype snap. Okay? It's not a tintype judgment.
Did you see the crab, Ronnie? Did you see the crab before we got to this restaurant? It was amazing.
Let me see, because she's taking selfies in a van.
Then the crab came up twice.
I don't think so. I didn't write anything down for her.
So the transitional, you know, marine life that we had to get into the state, they do a close-up of a crab, and the crab is sitting there. Crabs crack me up, because they're just like, hey, what's the matter? What's happening? What's going on? They're just sitting there, just like, what's happening? And it's just eating, and it has its claws, and it's like stuffing its mouth. And I'm like, this crab is hilarious. But then when you look closer, the crab has found a fish head and is just picking apart the fish head and eating the fish head. I was like, oh my God, this is morbid and also not a good sign for this date. It's a,
they do, you know, get that, more savage this episode. They start showing way more savage clips.
It's crazy. But also, like, you know, a crab is, I don't believe that crab is taking down a fish. I feel like some other fish bit a fish, the fish's head fell off, wound up on the ground, and the crab's like, yeah, it'll do. Sure.
It's just the garbage.
Put some ketchup on it.
Garbage disposal of fish. Send an old crab.
Put some sriracha on it.
So they go to this Italian place, and Serena orders a sparkling and a skinny bitch, whatever that is. And that's what I ordered from my facial doctor. What? I'm like, I'd like to order the skinny bitch, please. Every time I leave, I'm like, you bastards.
And then the rest of the gang, while they're going to the date, the rest of the gang is getting to vans. And Harry's like, all right, everyone, what's the goss? Who's annoyed with who? And Jamie's like, Harry, get your nose out of the goss for 1 minute. Gossip queen, Harry, can we come up with a nickname for Harry that totally exemplifies how he's acted all season long?
And Culver's like, Harry, what did I tell you, you little gossip queen? And Margo's like, it's nonstop with you, Harry. We love you. Just shut the fuck up. The hell? You're the one he was sticking up for, and this got him into all the... He got himself into it, but he was trying to stick up for you.
Yeah. So back on the date, Sherelle's like, well, you know what? I love your laugh. It reminds me of the Zimbabwe national anthem, which goes like this.
She's like, really? Because your laugh echoes through the whole boat. And he's like, it's terrible, eh? Oh, Aisha's voice on the radio. Oh my God. Just go a Zimbabwe. You know what I mean? And Serena's like, well, it's really nice, actually. You guys are getting along, liking each other how you are. It's really nice to see that. And he's like, I really didn't think we wouldn't. And she goes, really? Because she told me some things about you. And he goes, oh, but that's all right. And she's like, have you really changed, Joao? Have you really? And how? If you've changed, how have you changed?
Well, I'm a bit older. And, you know, I've been hurt so many times. I'm vulnerable and guarded. I'm just... Poor little Joao.
I've been mentally abused by 5 more women since the last time I've been seen on television.
That's why I just cling to that pamphlet. It's the only healthy relationship I've ever had, lady with paraglider over Zimbabwe.
So back at the restaurant, they're ordering elderflower margaritas.
Gross.
And they're calling Harry the gossip officer. That's what Luca calls him. Poor Harry. Mm-hmm. You know what? It's like bad enough to get made fun of all the idiots on the boat, but to get made fun of by the hottest guy on the boat really sucks. Be quiet, Luca, okay? Be nice to Harry.
I know. So Zarina's like, I feel like I'm going to be constantly trying to figure you out for so long. And he's like, good. Oh, why not? If you're trying to figure me out, it may mean that you don't want casual. So this is him trying to be like, ha ha ha, I know what you. I figured you out. And she's like, no, I'm the queen of casual. That's why I guess I'm being commissioned to do some teppanyaki, apparently. Disgusting.
Yeah, and he's like, you're a clown. So I think that he, you know, obviously he's saying, so you don't just want casual. He's trying to have like the relationship talk or whatever. And she's trying to pretend that she's avoiding it, even though she's going for it every time she opens her mouth. So it's kind of annoying to watch.
Because I think that she wants it. I actually do think she wants it, but she's also very guarded and she has good reason to be guarded. And also, like, why are they talking at this level? I mean, they flirted for several weeks. They finally had sex. And now all of a sudden they're talking about relationships. It's a little
fast. She wants him to say, listen, you have a total right to be wary of me. I've been on TV acting like a jackass. I did act like a jackass to Aisha on national TV and still took forever to not be a jackass. And I just fucked over one of your best friends. I thought it was casual dating. Obviously, I hurt her feelings more than I thought I did. But if we're going to be together, you can't constantly be bringing up my faults because it makes me not want to open up with you. Like, I'm really going to try something with you and I really like you, but I can't have you constantly coming for me. And then she could be like, you're right. I'm sorry I'm doing that. And then they could make out and try something until he really does fuck up because we all know he's going to. But yeah. I think she's just like hammering on him so hard. She's like doing the thing guys do, I think, where they're trying to like break you. And then when you break, they're like, oh, now look at them. They're so angry, you know? But I think it is kind of a good, I'm doing both sides it's, again today.
No.
I think you have to do it with Joao because the only way to show Joao's anger is to get him angry because that's what you need to know in a relationship. And I always say it's not who you are going to marry. You cannot concentrate on that. You have to concentrate on who you're going to divorce because it's when people fight with you, that's when you see their true sides and their nasty sides.
Yeah, but I don't like the idea of like going into a date, be like, I'm going to get this person angry to see what their anger is like. I think that is actually a self-defeating and self-fulfilling prophecy. I actually also don't even think that's fair to the other person. I almost feel like it's a trap. I'm not defending Joao. I think you're right. Joao should have said those things. And Joao's fault is that he's one of those people who likes to confront people with others with like his assessment of them and be like, I'm right. You know, and like we've all met those people and they're super annoying. And I think as a gay person, I'm especially triggered by it because like how many times when I was in the closet did people come up to me like there'd always be someone who'd be like, Ben, you're gay, aren't you? And you're just like, fuck you. I mean, yes, but you're not supposed to know that. And I'm not there yet. So don't do that to me, you know? And so like for me, it particularly annoys me when people do that because, you know, it hit me in a way that I really didn't like. But it also, I just think it's rude when people do that. I've seen people do it like, I know who you are. You're the sort of person who orders food and then takes it to go. And it's like, you may be accurate, but what do you, but you know what though? Fuck you. Cause I like, what do you want a brownie point because you figured something out? Now, do we do it professionally on a podcast? Yes, but we're not doing it to people's faces.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I'm not saying it's necessarily right that she's doing that, but I think that that is what she's getting. She's like, listen, you're presenting this perfect vision of yourself. We all know that that's not real. So show me your real self. But unfortunately, the real self doesn't happen until he's already got you in his clutches. I mean, that's his pattern from what we've seen on the show. So it's like you're arguing with cigarettes. You know what I mean? It's like you're telling a cigarette, oh, you, I know you. So what am I supposed to buy? You're bad for me. You're bad for me. It's like, yeah, and you're still going to fucking smoke me. So what do you want me to do about it? You're the one an argument with cigarettes. Joao is deadly, okay? Joao is toxic. He is deadly. He has never proven to be anything other. Nobody changes that fast. And you know it. And you know you should not be fucking around with this guy. And that's that.
But if you want to, do it. But then don't do the whole, like, oh, no, I'm going to get myself into trouble. Oh, no, my friends. Either say, like, you know what? He is trouble, but I'm into him right now. I'm going to go for this ride and see what happens. Or just say, you know what? I'm not going to mess with this.
She can't mess with it because she says it right now again. So he's telling her, okay, he's like, you were about to kiss me with a mouth full of food. That's cute. And she's like, oh, it's just easier to be casual when you don't care. Because you don't have to care how you eat in front of someone. And he's like, you should always be like that anyway. I know you're not good at casual. And she's like, yeah, but if someone's like, let's do casual and it's just us, then I can't do that because it has to be completely open or I get feelings. Like either have to be sleeping with, we have to be sleeping with everybody or it has, you know, she's saying she's going to catch feelings. And so he's like, so you're saying that if it's just you and I, there could be feelings? Why are you choosing to be casual? She's waiting for you to say you have feelings and you don't want to be casual. What the hell? You're smarter than this. That's why I think this guy's just still fucking with her.
Yeah. And because I was starting to believe like, okay, Joao has maybe changed. Maybe they do have something going on here. And so then he starts to kind of say some bullshit stuff. He's like, you know what? You are a light that I have been literally so happy to wake up to. And I just don't want to ruin it. Okay. Because otherwise I just have to deal with the flashlight that is Culver, and I prefer your light instead.
And she's like, I mean, look, you have all these positive things. And he goes, okay, what's the first negative thing you think about me? And she goes, fake. That's what.
He's like,
He's like, really? I mean, you didn't even take a second to think about it. I said, that was harsh. That was very, very harsh. And he's like, I really didn't see this coming. I mean, if you think I'm fake, why are you even here? Why did we wind up sleeping with each other? Why did she kiss me if this is how she feels? It's like, well, because she knows you're fake, but she wants to get some booty and she's having fun. And that's the definition of casual.
Also, she really worded this in a dick way. Because, like, you know you're going to piss somebody off by saying that. Like, I don't even like you out. And that's shitty. I think what she meant is, if I have to say something to you, it's that I'm afraid that you're faking it with me. And that you're pretending to be this person. And you're really going to hurt me in the end. You know? Because then he could be like, no, I'm not. I don't want to hurt you. But just being like, you're a fake ass.
But I think she wanted to pre-hurt him. She was like, you're going to hurt me, so I'm going to hurt you. I'm going to take the first shot at you. And I think she also wanted to undermine this. I think she knows. I think she is catching feelings for him. I think she has a conflict with her friend. She knows this is a bad path. So I think she's actively trying to sabotage the situation because she's kind of afraid to go down this path.
Really? I think that she's maybe, I mean, I can see that maybe she's probably trying to get on camera that she's at least putting up some defense of her friend. Like, I think you're an asshole. So prove that you're not an asshole. Say you're not an asshole. Admit that you were an asshole to her and you're going to be better or something like that. But I think that Serena does like him and want to be with him.
All things can be true. Everything you said and everything I said, I think, are all, guys, it's like all of the above.
You know what humans are? They're like a vitamin with tons of different things in them. They're complex.
It's like Santrum Silver, Santrum Zarina. No, I think it's all of the above. I think she is trying to sabotage. I think she does. She is interested. I think she is trying to get it on camera. I think she is literally everything. I think she's a complex. She's, you know what she is? She's a human.
But you know what? She's really bad at reading. She's reading the signs, but she's doing it anyway. Like when the signs are saying, uh-oh, you know, like on Pee-wee's Big Adventure when the road signs keep changing and they get twistier and twistier and it just gets, and they just keep going. And it's like that. But one of the biggest signs that I think they're failing to read, and I didn't even see this yet until I was thinking during the scene, like, what is our couple name even? Because you know you're only a good couple if you have a good couple name.
Right? Yeah.
That's, everybody knows that. So their couple name, I think, would be Sorrow, which is like sorrow. That's not a good couple name.
Do you know what, Ronnie, do you know what our couple name is? Bonnie.
Ben Ron is our couple name.
Ben Ron. Ben Ron is it. But if you really think about it, it's Bonnie.
Actually, you're right. No, it would be Bonani, I think, because you get more than one letter.
I know, but Bonnie is the funniest version that we like.
Bonnie is cute, but my mom used to be best friends with a lady named Bonnie, and it was another redhead. And then Bonnie and my mom got into a fight.
So Bonnie Franklin?
They still don't speak, and my mom is still very hurt by Bonnie. So just out of allegiance to my mom, I have to say fuck Bonnie. Okay.
Wow.
And we cannot. Wow. We are Ben Ron. Fuck Bonnie.
Okay.
Okay. Not really. If Bonnie hears this somewhere,
Bonnie,
I'm sure you're great. Loved you. Bonnie. Loved you when I was a kid. Okay. Nothing personal, but out of, you know, respect to my mom, fuck Bonnie. So we can't.
Yeah. Bonnie Bedelia, if you're listening, fuck you.
Also, Serena, see what I just did for my mom? I know that Billy is not your mother, but that is how you should have entered into this. Fuck Joao. The end. That's it.
Yeah. Then that's over.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Joao's like, you are a fucking roller coaster. And she's like, oh, you're a bit of a shit fuck for me, Joao. And he goes, well, you can't tell me that. If you want something, if you want to know something, ask me. And she goes, okay, well, why are you screaming at me in front of all my friends right now?
So, like, making light, which I thought was funny. Yeah. And then we go to commercial. And then when we come back, the best clip I've ever seen on Below Deck Down Under, or any Below Deck, was this octopus thing. What was this? It was two little squid things. Were they octopus or squid? I don't know.
They were octopuses.
But there was like a shell. Okay, there was like a big shell.
Yeah.
Like one of the ones you put up to your ear to hear the sea. Well, not when you're in the sea.
It
works the same.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so they're both standing on the side of the shell, and then one scurries over and runs and jumps on top of the shell, and then the other one runs and scurries and jumps on top of the octopus on top of the shell. So it's like, it was crazy. What I watched it five times.
I actually looked it up, and I looked up what was going on. So it turns out that in Australia, at this time of the year, this was actually Octopus Black Friday, and that shell was on sale. And so there just was like a big brawl, and you know, like, you know, underwater Walmart really causes a lot of drama.
It was Black Friday. It was Squid Ink Friday.
Listen, that was that show was marked down.
Someone was really going for that Vizio.
It was a Vizio shell. You know what? Like,
well, they do hear things from that, you know, apparently you put it up to your ear. Someone down there is like, oh my God, put this shell up to your ear. You can hear the ocean. That was always one of my favorite Ellen DeGeneres jokes from like the 80s. She'd be like, you know, when people tell you to put a shell up and you can hear the ocean. Yeah. It's called your ear. You're standing at the fucking ocean. Idiot. God, she didn't say fucking though. She was too good for that, wasn't she? R.I.P. Not dead. Ellen DeGeneres.
R.I.P. Okay, reputation. Okay, so the point is, these octopuses were going at it. It was absolutely amazing. And I was also glad to see, like, you know, we love My Octopus Teacher. If you ever want to hear a recap of that, we actually have that in our feed. But we love My Octopus Teacher, which was a really lovely movie, and it really showed this lovely, thoughtful octopus. But I like this because it just shows that octopuses are not monolith, and they can be real assholes to each other. And I was like, I loved it. It's great, great moment.
Yeah, it really was. So now we're back with Serena and Joao, and she's like, okay, I'm sorry. And he's like, it's okay. And she goes, I just overthink everything. And he's like, yeah, but you know, you pretend that you don't. And that's the problem. You're like, it's casual, but it's not casual. And you won't say, you have to say, because I don't know what you're thinking. You do know what she's thinking.
She's
literally just told you 10 times what she's thinking. You just don't like what she's thinking, Joao, because she's not buying your load of horse shit. Okay.
He's trying to kind of break her down. You know, he's talking at her and not talking with her.
And he's like, I just don't know. Like, what is my, well, she says, well, I just don't know. What are my three boyfriends going to think about this? And he goes, I don't know. What are my girlfriends going to think? I was like, oh God, this guy's terrible. You're way funnier than him. You're way better. Just get rid of him.
But then Zarina's like, she's like, but now you can open up your mouth and tell me what you mean by that. And he goes, oh, what do you mean? You think I'm lining you up for me to my girlfriend? I wasn't sure what he meant by that. He goes, cause that would be actually dickish. Do you mean like lining Zarina up? What did he mean?
He's saying, you think I'm lining you up to meet my girlfriend? Like I'm just stringing you along so I could hurt somebody else, basically.
Got it. That's what I kind of figured.
She's like, well, you have done something like that in the past. And he says, no, I haven't. She goes, in fact, I know you have. And it goes, boom. And he's just like, makes a big thinking face, you know, like his wacky thinking face. And she's like, don't listen. You're allowed to be a dick, all right? Just admit it. Like, you're allowed to be a dick. Just say. And he goes, no. Your friend knew exactly what was going on. I never lied about it. And he gets in her face and she's like shocked. And she like pulls back.
His fingers and he covers his mouth and shit.
Oh my God. Yeah. He caught himself because she uncovered him. That's why I'm saying, in retrospect, maybe it's better that she's been coming at him like that because she finally got to see that, because that's what you're going to be fighting with, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Like, she did get it. I'm like, I don't know. It's like, it's so weird because she did get it. But it's like she was looking for it, too. It was like entrapment. And I'm not defending Joao, but I also feel like, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know, maybe I have this rosy view that if you go on a date, you shouldn't be going on a date to try to suss out all the negatives. You should be going on a date to find the connection. But they have this
pre-existing history. So she needs, in order for them to get anything going, he has to say, I've been an asshole and I was an asshole to your girlfriend. And I'm really sorry. I don't want it to be like that with us. I feel different for you. Now, it would probably be a lie, because if he was more experienced, which I'm surprised he's not, he would know to say that. It's like manipulation 101. I'm probably she out could of also myself ask it. Being a huge manipulator and just saying, listen, I was an asshole. I'm not anymore. I've been waiting for you this whole time, baby.
But for as much as he complains that she doesn't come out and say it, he doesn't come out and say it because she's alluded, like, you treated my friend badly. And he goes, well, you don't know the full story. There's actually more to that story. I don't remember it that way. He doesn't say what it is. So I think, like, honestly, a more effective thing is that she could just be like, honestly, what you just said, she should say, I like you, but I have this issue because of my friend. And like, I need you to address it. But she doesn't really do it. She's sort of like coy about it. And then he also never addresses it. So they are bad communicators. But also, I don't understand why this all has to be resolved and addressed on the first date, to be honest. Like, I think the first date really could just be fun.
So it's not about the date. Like, they've already connected. And she said on an episode that it's different for girls. And, you know, obviously she can only speak for herself, but she's saying it's different for girls because once they've had sex, they start catching feelings no matter what.
Yeah.
So she said that basically she, and then we saw her have sex. So we know that this is more than just like their first date. And they do have like a massive chemistry, right? We can see it on the TV. They really do. They don't have one of these fake below deck relationships energy like Harry and Margot or Jamie and Culver or the people who come on and they're just like on The Bachelor and they feel like, okay, well, we're the love storyline, so I guess we better make this happen. They seem to have like a real like animalistic kind of chemistry going on. So I think it's like, fuck yeah. Like, we've only got a week more together. So what are we doing here?
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but I think that's what makes it, that's the crinkle in it, is that they are about to go now off to their different corners of the world, but yeah. I don't know, I just feel like, I mean, Joao is Joao, she knows Joao is Joao, and well, I think he's a dick. You guys are
Sarau, okay? You're Sarau, you're full of Sarau.
You're full of
Sarau.
So now she's like, aha, I've caught you. Either way, whatever, whether I would go on a first date and try to like trap someone like that, or, it doesn't even matter because she has done it now. And she's like, look, she's like, you shouted and you pointed, and that is such a chauvinist, mad fucking narcissist thing to do. And that's the one time you ever talk to me like that again. I'm going to rip you a new fucking asshole. I'm not joking. One thing I do not tolerate is shouting, which is, I'm glad she said that, because now she's established her boundaries, which is good. But
also, Joao, how impressive doesn't like to that. See this from a chef, really. I mean, just as someone who's watched a lot of this show and someone who's worked with a ton of chefs and someone who's raised by a chef, these people or not like this. I don't know how much therapy she's been through or how she's gotten to be like this, but the fact that she can so calmly be like, I don't believe in yelling, and that's not what I... Girl, he should get a sheet pan to his head. I'm like, what kind of chef are you? You need to throw a knife at him. Like,
yeah. Chop off a digit. So he goes, no, it was passionate aggression, which I'm like, okay, now you have officially lost this fight, Joao.
And he's trying to be charming again, you know, and she's like, well, really nice date. Thanks for inviting me. And they kind of laugh, but he's pissed now. And he tells us, I'm giving someone my honest, vulnerable self, and it's being thrown back in my face. Well,
how was he doing that? Remind me how he was being honest and vulnerable right now.
He wasn't. That's the thing. He keeps saying she's not. I agree with you when you said that he keeps accusing her of not saying anything about herself, but she has, and he has not said anything. We don't know anything about this guy.
Nothing. So now we don't even know about this. He's not even clarified anything about this breakup that has traumatized him so much. We know nothing. Right. Like, just because you go on a date and you sit with someone and you order drinks, that does not make you honest and vulnerable.
Right. So they're disaster. That was a disaster, this first date. So now we go back to the rest of the gang having dinner. And Margot is asking, have you heard from Rolo yet? Is that his name? The guy who runs the boat and invented caramels covered in chocolate shaped like little cylinders? God, I love that guy. Wonder if he owns a boat. I really want to work on Rolo's boat. Probably has a bus or something because his name is Rolo.
And Jamie's like, yeah, Culver, what's going on with Olaf? Is this really a boat? I mean, honestly, Captain Olaf. I would believe Captain Rolo before I believe Captain Olaf.
It's the mayor of the town, Betty White's character in Golden Girls grew up. Rose.
So Culver's texting Captain Olaf. He's like, Olaf, bro, checking in on the med gig for my girl and I. So, I can't actually believe it.
You just see the flashing three dots where it's like, responding, 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 but no one ever responds.
Nothing says the gig is off by actually having someone named Olaf. Like, his off is in his name. So, yeah. So now the bill arrives at dinner, and of course, and Luca pays it, and of course, not Culver. So Harry's like, Culver hasn't paid all season. Gossip officer reporting to duty, Culver hasn't paid. And Culver's like, hey, what?
Then give it here. Here, I'm reaching out my hand. Oh, no, I'm falling over in my chair. I'm tumbling away. I tried to pay for it, but I'm rolling into the ocean. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, because Luca takes it, right? And Culver is like, very confrontational. And he's like, Culver, come on. You've got to splash a bit soon, mate. And Culver is like, well, then just send it to me next time. He goes, nope, he grabbed it. You grab it from him. That's how it is. You know, the first one that grabs it pays it. You got to get in there and you got to grab it. It's like he's trying to teach him how to play flag football. You know what I mean? Fucking Culver. You know how to do this, Culver. You offer once in a while, you fucking taker. This is people like Culver. They just sit back. They do a lot of sit-ups. And so then they just sit back and they take because they have abs. Okay? Right. You're not that good. Okay? You're hot, but you're not hot enough to never pay for a fucking meal, sir.
It's like this very passive, you know, way of saying, oh, I'll pay for it, but you don't like actually reach for it. You don't like volunteer. You don't jump up. Like, we all know how to do it. We all know what it's like if you want to pay for it. You do the thing where you grab it and then you do the arm swipe across people, like, no, 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 no. I hope we've all done that. But you do that thing where you just sort of like, it's just how you do it.
Literally, and he's like, everybody right. knows how to do it. Even Culver, he just won't do it because fucking user laid. He's just that kind of guy who just fucking floats through life. I mean, he barely even does his job. And this is on TV where he's doing his job this poorly. And he still just gets brought back. You know what I mean? Imagine what he's like when there's no cameras around.
Yeah, boo. Exactly. Boo. He's like, wow, you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't with this shit. Oh, man. Listen, I got a credit card. It's from the Dutch Baby Union of America. Okay, I got a lot of points on this one. After every 100 points, you get a Dutch Baby from Chef Kim. I mean, admittedly, this is just a piece of cardboard my mom gave me, but it's pretty cool, huh?
He's like, hold on, I got something to pay for this. Like, sir, we don't accept bread as payment. It's not bread. It's a Dutch Baby.
do you guys take Dutch Baby Pay? I can just tap this right on your reader right here.
So now they go back to that empty bar they were in last time. And Margo's like, oh, my God, I'm so glad we came back here. We never come back to the same place. It's like, oh. So you're like the only people there.
I know. They're probably offering like $3 drinks just to have people in there. So Luca and Jamie are like kind of flirting because he's testing her necklace. Like, she's wearing a pearl necklace. And she's like, you know, why, you know, it's real pearls. You hold up to your teeth and it so feels chalky. So he's like doing that. And it's like cute. There's like sparks flying between them, you know. And he's like, oh, my God. He's like, oh, God, Jamie's like a dork, but she's also kind of sexy. Actually, she's pretty much just sexy. And oh, bro code.
Why is she a dork? Because she knows how to bite down into pearls to see if they're real.
I don't know where that came from.
I gotta love himbo thinking, like himbo logic. Like, wow,
yeah,
she's curious about how pearls taste. What a dork.
So now Jamie and Culver are sitting together, and Culver's like, oh, I mean, I don't mind buying rounds or anything or paying. I mean, like, take my card. Buy whatever the fuck you want, but don't make a big deal out of it. I just get sick of all that bullshit drama, you know?
Pay She's your like, bills, sir. You know, is this what you tell Capital One when they call you? You know, I just don't want drama. You don't have to be so dramatic. Pay the bill. That's it, Culver. Okay? Nobody would be repossessing your car if you had paid for it. Okay? You don't get to argue with the repossession person. Pay your bills.
Jamie is so turned off by this. She's already been turned off, but she's just sitting here watching this man child complain because, like, he got caught not paying again. And she's like, oh, my God, I have definitely chosen the wrong guy here.
But then I just don't understand her. And also, I think we skipped this episode. So just to mention, they were giving him shit last time they were out about paying. And he was resisting. And so she picked up the check and was pissed off. So she's extra pissed off this time that he's still, like, he didn't get it, you know. And so she's like, well, I'm just tired. I want to go to bed. And what happened? I was saying this. She confuses me. Don't they go together? Don't they go to bed together? Or does she just leave him tonight?
They definitely go to bed together tonight.
Oh, right.
Very
right.
Romantic so that's location.
Later. Okay.
So that's later. So now Zarina and Joao join the group, and Luca is like, hi, how was Dina? And Joao's like, oh, it was good. I got to meet all five of her. It was great. I'm like, she was pretty consistent. Zarina was being just Zarina. Like, It's just now, but this is classic fuckboy thing where you now make the girl seem like she's the crazy one.
Yeah, of course. So let's see. Girls are talking outside and Serena's like, you know, it was nice, but I kept shouting at him. It's just this mistrust thing I have, you know? I just need to get in the real world to see if we can really do casual, you know? Why can't you just date him? Why do you have to do casual? Why does everybody try and talk themselves into doing casual? I really don't understand it. There's nothing wrong with wanting to actually be in a relationship with somebody and saying, you know what? I want to like love who I fuck. How about that? How about we try that out, guys?
Everyone's just so concerned about getting hurt, but like maybe that's like
what you have to casual.
But also just, yeah, I'm just like, also like you spend so much time trying not to get hurt in life that maybe you just wind up not living life.
So, yeah, I think some people really are into casual. Look, we're gay. So it's not like we can't. I mean, we're trained to do casual. I can do casual. But I think a lot of people just are not built for casual and they lie to themselves. No, and then they freak out. One of my best friends is like that. And it's been like this for years and years where I'm like, stop saying you're casual. I know that you're in love with him and you're already picking out China. Stop it. Stop saying that. It's like, oh, but I am casual. And then a week later, it's like, ooh.
Yeah, because I think people create images of themselves and what they want. And then there's cognitive dissonance because they don't wind up being that way. And it's like you're adding a whole other layer. You're like, I don't want to get hurt, but you wind up hurting yourself, actually. Like someone who, like, honestly, Madison from Below Deck Sailing, she's someone who's like, I just want casual. And I believe her. She really did just want casual. She never fell into that trap of like, I caught feeling. She was like she was consistent the whole season. Like, yeah, I just wanted something casual. That's someone I believe. But there are a lot of people who, in general, men, women, who are just like, I just want something casual. And like, you don't want something casual. Why are you lying to yourself? You're hurting yourself. Just throw yourself into it. Have fun. And if you get hurt, you'll deal with that when that happens.
Yeah. Oh, so easy. Guys, to fix everyone. So easy to judge it from outside the fishbowl lane.
It's so fun. It's actually literally fun to do it too.
So then Jamie has to make this all about herself because she's a joual. There's something about Jamie. I'm sorry, I'm telling you. Because she takes Serena talking about her to go, yeah, it's about life, right? Same as me and Culver. No, it's not the same as you and Culver. No, it's not. And she's like, is it going to be great or is it not going to be great? You know, like, I just have all these other happy places. And I just realized, like, he's my only happy place on the boat. But will he be my happy place off the boat? Does her like a little scrunchy face, like cute little scrunchy face? No, you don't like him. Get rid of him.
You don't. Like, you don't. You like that. You asking that question is your answer also. So Culver decides to pay for everyone's drinks. Much cheaper, probably. Okay, like everyone's like $3 Tuesday night like discount drinks. So he spent probably like $45, and they go back to the boat and everything. And Luca's making noodles and eating ramen with Margot, which is also really cute. I actually think like Luca and Margot could be really cute together. I think that I guess Luca just probably works really well with anyone because he's adorable. And then so Culver, Jamie has like gathered some pillows and some blankets so that way they could like sleep somewhere together. And so you're thinking they're going to take a guest room or maybe they'll sleep out on the deck, something romantic. And he's like, hey, check this out. And he like lifts up a hatch and he's like, how about we go down there? And it's like a bilge.
It's like, what the fuck is this?
Of supplies and acid. It was, is doomsday happening? What is this?
I know. I was like, this is so lost, and it's going to end the same way. This relationship is going to end the same way. Everyone's going to be like, what a fucking waste, you know? So they go down into the bilge, which is crazy. And I'm like, what is this? Like, I get him because he's a child, and I think that's the toy basement, right? Is that the toy basement? Yeah.
It's like it's just like just random supplies. Like they show like a bin of some sort of acid, some sort of cleaning supply. It's like not even the toy garage.
So of course he likes it because he's a child. But Jamie, have some self-respect. Oh my God, what are you doing? Like, I respect you more than you respect you. You are better than this. Please get away from Culver and the bilge. And was there no other room available? Like, who goes down there to sleep on purpose? They have huge, gorgeous, luxury master bedrooms.
And there's also something about being under that hatch that feels a little scary. It feels like the sort of thing where someone, like, will lock it, and then they'll, like, leave the ship, and then you're trapped down there. I don't know. Like, it's just terrible. I almost feel like she did it just to build a case for why she's going to leave him. you know, to be like, you know, you brought me down to the bilge. That's disgusting. I'm going to have to leave you, you know?
Yeah. Wow. This was something.
I mean,
that's not an excuse to leave somebody because you ended up like hooking up down there. So, no, I don't think that one works. I think she needs to just leave him. I don't understand her thought process at all. So then they're eating, Luca and Margo are eating noodles together, and he's like, what's going on in there? Wait, is someone in there? And he goes and checks and lifts the lid, and Luke's like, what are you doing in there? He's like, Corva's taking it down to the dumpster storage. Take it to the master cabin, bro.
Hey, there's lots of safety training going on down here. Yeah. God, it was, this is, please, people, okay, between Joao and Culver, men who are listening to this, or I'll say it could be anyone, doesn't have to be men, don't do these things on dates, don't do these things with the people that you're into, okay?
Why not? Didn't seem to do any harm in this situation, it seemed to
it's
work.
It's not going
to
be good, just it's not going to be good for longevity, okay? So then Zarina, meanwhile, is in Joao's bed, because she's like, all right, that was fun, I got you angry and I established boundaries. You passed the you failed the test, but passed the test because the test was, could you fail the test? And you passed that by failing it. So anyway, I'm in the bed now. And Joao's like, well, I'm going to put on my Zim jammers on. And I'm sorry, I just want to have a nice, easy night. So you'll have to leave my bed. I'm wounded.
And she's like, are you saying no more D's? Is that what you're saying? And he's like, yes, I'm just tired. And she's like, all right, well, what a shame. See ya. So she leaves, and then at 2 a.m., Culver and Jamie come out of their shame hole and, like, stumble back to bed. I'm still mortified. So yeah. Then next morning, time for the last charter, everybody. So Jamie is telling Margo that she went down to the bilge last night, and Margo's like, wait, like, in the floor? That sounds really bad. And Jamie goes, thanks, babe. Thanks.
Wait, so you guys went and had sex, like, in the floor, like, in that space with the spiders and where we sometimes throw wet sponges? There? Yeah. Wow. That's pretty bad, and we've had a lot of bad things happen this season.
So, down in the mess, or in the mess, Joao is talking to, he sees Serena. Okay, so she's in there, and he's just doing his ignoring thing. He's like, I'm mad. I'm very, very mad. Get prepared to feel the revenge of Zim. So he's even, like, when he's mad, he gets those squinty eyes and his hair spikes up just a little bit more. And
he's like, Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe. So he's moving things around in the kitchen randomly. And she's like, hello, honey. What's up? And he's just ignoring her, squinting his eyes. And he goes, finally, what's up? And she's like, oh, God, here we go. Yep. I mean, you did kind of create this monster. But, yep. You know, at least you see now. Now I hope that you'll back away.
But he's punishing her now. He's punishing her because she coaxed out the real side of him. So he's punishing her. And it's just part of it's the fuckboy thing. Have a moment of closeness. Now you got to push. Yeah, I'm going to push you away. I'm going to make you seem crazy. I'm going to push you away. I'm going to withhold. And yeah, you have to grovel. This is so classic. Yeah. So they gather for the preference sheet meeting, and there's awkward energy because Joao and Zarina are not talking. And we learn that Andrew Hagstrom is a cannabis expert, and he's the primary with his wife. And they want to be greeted with Don Julio shots, and they want upscale teppanyaki to include flaming onion volcano, and wants the chef to put on a show in front of them. Okay, I'm not going onto a yacht for teppanyaki. Go to a teppanyaki place for that. What? Like, unless it's like the SS Benihana, why would you expect this on your yacht? This is so ridiculous.
You know, something I was thinking about during this whole teppanyaki thing, I've worked in fine dining before, and I know that this isn't fine dining. This is yachting, and it's a different thing. But in fine dining, it is not do whatever the customer wants. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
It's if the customer doesn't like what you're doing, the customer's a fucking idiot and they're not good enough to be here to give us $500 for this check. I mean, there is none of this like, oh my God, okay, wait, you want teppanyaki? Oh my God, how do we get a Benihana's in here and do that for? They'd be like, fuck you, go to Benihana's, you fucking loser. This is not the restaurant for you. And we will have your picture up on the wall so that the hostess never makes a mistake of letting your stupid ass in here again. Okay. So I don't understand some of this, especially when you're waiting on pure trash. Okay. No, you do not get to just make us get a fucking Benihana table in the middle of a. Come on.
Yeah. Guys. Like that's. It's like special equipment, special training. It's like you don't. That does not just appear. But that being said, isn't it possible to like hire a teppanyaki chef?
That's what they should have done.
Right. Like they was, I'm sure that if they can like source random like Moulin Rouge stuff every 5 seconds, they can. I'm sure there's like a teppanyaki chef because there's like a. I feel like we see it all the time on these shows that they bring in a teppanyaki chef in someone's basement. Well, wasn't it was Shamari? Wasn't it Shamari on Atlanta had a teppanyaki table in her basement?
No, it was Tanya.
Tanya.
Yeah.
Sorry. Shamari threw up at the teppanyaki.
Tanya loved that. But Benihana
teppanyaki table. Oh my goodness. Enjoy selling that home. Teppanyaki table in the base. Tanya needs to be on the next House Hunters. What I'm really looking for, okay, we need to have close to town and also teppanyaki in the basement. Are there any houses that have teppanyaki in the basement?
Oh, God. So Serena's like, I just feel like this is setting me up for humiliation. And the captain's like, listen, I get it, but it's the last charter. Let's just do it. And Serena's like, fucking Keith, help me. Keith Stone, you know, just strip a Keith Stone, who turned out to be a real person. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
It's like somebody from like local Midwest beer commercials or someone. Somebody told us in our comments today. So thanks for the information. I love that. Culver is not even creative enough to come up with his own stripper with a mullet. He took it from a car commercial. So the captain's like, yeah, I don't think that's what they want. This is a bit more formal. And she's like, but it's just a flat plate. You do some steak and shit on it and flip it onto their plate with a thing, right? I mean, listen, I don't think this is my domain. And he's like, I don't care. You're going to do it. Nah, I don't think so. I would be the same as her. I would be like, no, you can hire somebody to bring in one of these fucking tables and bring in a chef who does this. No.
This is specialized. Or say, like, maybe we'll have, like, a reinvented teppanyaki where it's just, like, I cook everything in the kitchen and bring it out. You know, like, this is, yeah, this is hire
a chef. It's like telling him, okay, fly a plane now. And he's like, no, I'm a captain, but I'm a captain of boats. It's like, no, you're a captain and you'll do what we say because we're rich. No, she doesn't not know how to do that. That's a dangerous thing, just flicking around hot things on fire at people.
Yeah. Onion towers? Come on. So just have an onion. By the way, have onion rings. Do you need your do you need your onions to be a tower? Do you need the verticality of it? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. Also, like the top, the onions at the top are not going to cook as well as the ones on the bottom. Sorry. Because the ones on the bottom are touching the grill and the ones on the top are just in the air. So Zarina is not happy about this. Aisha's telling this dude about like setting up a Japanese tablescape for the evening. And Jamie is like, well, Aisha hates Margo in service and I understand where she's coming from and wants Margo to learn. But at the same time, she just really didn't take me into account as much as she should have, which I guess, sure. And then Joao is moping around. He's like, I'm irritable and I don't know why. I'm like, because you had a terrible, terrible date and got called out for your shit last night.
Yeah, because you got called out for being a fucking asshole. And now guess what you're being? A fucking asshole. You got called out for being a manipulative asshole. And now you're going to walk around the rest of the season being a manipulative asshole. You know what? This is why cynicism works. And this is why I never back down from not believing in people. I know some of you think it's a very sad way to live. It's not. Because you can spot people like this. And then you're okay with it. You know, you know that they're shit. You didn't believe they were anything more. Now, that's not everybody, but a Joao is going to Joao, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, Joao is going to Joao. All right, so there's like more cleaning and stuff. And now that guests are approaching, Margo has a tray of champagne glasses and she's holding it. And she's like, okay, Marge, don't spill. Deep breaths. Deepest breaths ever. Okay, Marge, you can do it, Marge. I was so scared she was going to knock those all down.
And then the cast of Don't Worry, Darling approaches. What the fuck are these people?
These
like,
people?
All the guys looking exactly the same in their Tommy Bahama attire and their like crazy Stepford wives. Ugh.
This group of San Juan Capistrano fakers getting on board, all fucking each other behind the scenes. Let's just put that out there right 100%. Now. You're the one who has been very vocal about everyone in Orange County being swingers, and you've never seen a bigger group of swingers than this group of best friends who are the bestest friends of all best friends times.
Ugh, gross. So they're coming up, and immediately I'm grossed out. I was like, wow, you know, usually this show spreads out the gross people. It's like one gross charter, then the next one's okay. Although the ladies from the last charter ended up being slightly better by the time they were gone.
Slightly.
So anyway, one of the guys so Captain's like, okay, we're going to get toys in the water, blah, blah, blah. And of course, Jamie loves them. You see, I don't trust her. She's like, oh my God, they're all fucking hot. I'll marry them, boy and girl, I don't care. And Aisha's like, oh my God, you guys all look like you're part of the same collection. And one of them goes, we are. And she goes, you even have the same Vans. Oh, look at that. Matching douchebag.
Oh. I'm surprised they weren't all wearing like Ed Hardy. So the guys are doing like secret handshakes the entire time. I think they have on the flight over, they came up with a secret handshake to do, but they're still kind of trying to get it down pat because they are like trying, but they're also like missing each other's hands. It's like, it's a work in progress. And then
we've known each other a long time, guys. We've all lived in the same neighborhood. We all know each other so well. Look at these handshakes. Yep, we can't do the handshakes, but we do wear matching patterns. So.
So now they all want drinks, and so like half of them want 4 vodka sodas, half want 4 vodka pineapples, and so this is going to be like Margot's big moment to make cocktails. But before that, we cut to the galley where there's more strife between Zarina and Joao. So Zarina's like, Joao, I said some horrible shit to you. It was very funny for me, but it was horrible for you. And he goes, oh, it's fine. Don't stress. I'm just a vulnerable bosun who's been hurt before, who opened up his heart and his self, his inner core, to someone only to have it be spit back in his Zimbabwe face.
He's like, why are you saying it that now? And she goes, because I'm thinking. And he goes, oh, you're thinking, are you? And he's
remember like, when I said you overthink? See? A zing. Zimbabwe.
You just got attacked by the Zimbot. So he's like, it came as a surprise that that's what you were waiting for? Wait, what? I forget what that line means, but he tells us, I just can't believe that she called me fake. I can't get past it. And I'm trying, but I just can't. I'm very unsure of how I should be around her. I don't want to make time for someone who thinks that I'm fake. I was like, oh, God, you are acting exactly like she was accusing you of acting.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
He found a breadcrumb to use against her that he can get some power from. I mean, it was like a not insignificant breadcrumb. It's not nice to call someone fake, but he's really... Listen, if you're going around laughing like this, you're going to get called fake.
Or you fuck over my best friend. I mean, you're going to get a lot more than that, you fuck. So he's like, I just want to be honest. We just need to be honest. Okay, then why is she being honest? She just told you everything, laid it out on the table, and
that's
now
true.
She's apologizing, and you're still not saying that you're mad or why you're mad or why it hurt you or anything else. You're just withholding. So stop with your let's just be honest, because you never once fucking have done it on this show. And still, after all these years, it is so nice to just resolutely say, fuck you.
Yeah. So Margo, she makes the drinks, although she accidentally almost pours like the wrong thing into something. And she's like, no. But then she brings them out to everyone. And the women start talking about how they're all like, yeah, we're all moms, but like we worked in fashion before this. Yeah. We were like we had a fashion line called Zensations of Laguna Beach. You may have seen it before on the PCH. Yeah.
I was going to say, wear it, Dillard's, because I know your ass was not designing clothes. So all of you stop. And yeah. Another.
I was an intern at Cuff Love.
we were all best friends, and like we're like in the same neighborhood, and we have known each other since seventh grade. And then Michaela, who's spelled M-Y-C-H-A-Y-L-A. Her parents are just like, I want a lot of Y's. Just give me a lot of Y's. And she's like, yeah, we're like besties.
Yeah, like all our kids are best friends and our husbands are best friends. We all have like, everyone's like kids or like everyone else's goddaughters and godsons and everything. And just like everyone loves everyone. And we're like the happiest group of eight people you've ever met. And we've never had a fight ever in our lives.
Like Margo's like, yeah, I don't buy it. I'm sorry. No. I just don't buy it. Something doesn't work here.
No.
And Michaela goes, I'm sorry, what's your name again? Margo. And the guy goes, bye, Mario.
Please. I didn't hear that.
I'm pretty sure so I heard it. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure. Listen twice.
It's a me, Margo. Sure. So Culver's like wandering around in the galley, of course. What's up, Chaffee? And so Zarina basically wants him to help out as Keystone again for dinner tonight, even though Jason was like, don't do that. But she's like, I need all the help I can get. So he's down for it.
So then we go to Melissa, crazy, crazy Stepford wife with Melissa de Arabian eyes. I mean, she who's insane, by the way. She looks insane. I just saw her on Guy's Grocery Games, and I was like, wow, you got even crazier. So this lady, Melissa, with the crazy eyes, is like, Aisha, I just need some help getting organized. And Aisha says, oh, all right, Jamie, go down. So she goes down, and she's like, yeah, I just want to get organized. Clean room, clean mind. Right?
Terrifying. Right? The way she said that, and the way she sort of like bulged her eyes and smiled unblinkingly at Jamie, I was like, this person is dangerous. get away from her.
She is. And Jamie's like, oh, I love that. She's amazing. Okay, let's take out clothes. Some are going to hang. Some are going to steam. Okay. No, it's not fucking okay. Again, another thing. A rich person doesn't just get to walk on a boat and say, do everything. Do they? How is this even?
I think they do.
And why am I just so furious about this now? Bring a fucking maid or an assistant if you're that rich. Are you kidding me? No,
I think this is what
your bony ass on the teppanyaki table.
There just was something deranged and scary and rigid about this woman. So she gives Jamie some stuff to steam. So Jamie goes down to the laundry room, and Jamie loves the. She's like, "Gold, this woman has amazing clothes." And so she's. But first, she receives a selfie from Luca, the selfie they took the last episode. So I think they're sort of suggesting that maybe she's getting a little distracted by love, and she's steaming. So okay, this is actually something I would register a formal complaint with this yacht. This is a super yacht for luxury. Why don't they have a dedicated steamer? It costs $15.
Who doesn't have a steamer?
They're steaming with an iron. They're using the steam function on the iron. You can get a travel steamer. And I know this because I've been on Steamer Talk lately for some strange reason, because it's what TikTok has given me. But you can get a travel steamer for like $20.
It's amazing.
Even if you pay $100, you're a luxury yacht. Where is your steamer?
I got one. I think mine was $30. It goes right in my suitcase. It is great. It's hot immediately. And the end acts as kind of an iron, too. It gets so hot that you can kind of iron it.
Send me that link. I would love to.
Really good.
Please send that to me, because I'm steamer curious. I used to have a steamer.
On tour, I started wearing button downs again.
I did.
I have a steamer now.
But I just assumed you ironed them in the rooms. But I used to have a steamer. It was this big old thing that had like a rod. It was like a professional steamer. It was so over the top. I sent it back. But now in one of the places we stayed at, they didn't have an iron. They had a little steamer. And I steamed like a little hand steamer on the bed. And I was like, this is wonderful.
Yeah.
I really want your recommendation, Ronnie.
I'm going to give it to you. You're going to love it. Okay, so she fucks up the dress, basically.
Yeah.
Because she touches the iron to it, and it immediately just, like, scrunches up and melts. And it's just, like, a little spot of it, but still, you can't.
It was
later, the lady's like, oh, my God, it's the whole dress. But it wasn't the whole dress, but it still might as well.
Yeah, we all know if we get, like, a small stain on anything, we're all like, fuck, okay? This sucks. It sucks.
The dress is ruined.
But also, like, why are they steaming with an iron?
I can't. And also, she keeps talking about, like, I'm second to you. I've worked so hard to be second. Shouldn't you say, why are we using a fucking iron? This is not professional.
Yeah.
Or the second. I mean, I get literally. It if the third doesn't know, but the second should be like, this is janky. We need a steamer. Call Ronnie. Okay. Yeah. So she's like, oh no. So she goes to tell Margo and Aisha, and Aisha's like, that is really bad. And Jamie's like, yeah, and she wanted to wear it tonight. And I was just, it was a hot fucking dress too. And then we cut to the blonde ladies like hugging and kissing, and the Chanel logo on the glasses facing the camera, you know, because they're that type of person.
Yeah. And they're like, okay, well, just tell her after lunch. Let her have a nice lunch. So, you know, Aisha's like, don't worry. It's a total accident. Don't beat yourself up about it. So,
Melissa is asking Margo, meanwhile, upstairs. She's like, so, Margo, how are you? Do you love clean rooms? How old were you today when you realized that clean room, clean mind? Am I right? How old? And Margo's like, I'm 20. She says, you look 23. And she goes, actually, everyone says that, but I'm 27. And she goes, girl, I am 37.
So now it's your turn to say, I look 23 also. Okay. Now go. So,
you don't look that. You don't look that at all. This woman.
Uh-huh.
Save me from this lady.
Do you want to actually say what age I look like? I have a hint. It rhymes with 23. Okay, now you go. Say it. Say it.
Okay. So, I made 4 juices today, which was really fun. You know what I miss, surprisingly? Talking to the iron. It's kind of my friend. At this point, I just kind of miss it. Is that wrong? Is that weird?
You know what's funny? It's I made 4 juices before I left for this trip. Because I guess it's funny. I just sort of have the energy of like a 23-year-old. Do you find that also? Fellow young 23-year-old looking person.
So Aisha goes up and she's like, alrighty, would you guys like some wine? But the caption said, oh, Ronnie, would you like some wine? I was so touched. I took that as a gift.
Good.
No, I don't like wine. It makes my glands hurt. But you know what? Bravo, I took that. And I sat with it. And I've never felt so loved. Thanks.
That's lovely. So after lunch, Jamie... it's time. Jamie has to like now say this. And she's like, this is the biggest mistake she's ever made in her yachting career. So she pulls Melissa and she's like, excuse me, you're going to kill me. And Melissa goes, what? She's like, I'm so sorry. So while steaming this dress, so our steamer is on the iron and I was going up and down and it caught here. And Melissa's like, her eyes are bulging. You can see her, like, you just can imagine her pupils are looking around at the cameras, like, where's the nearest camera? It's like a thief as they're like scoping out the joint. She's like, I'm on camera, aren't I? Okay. It's fine. It's no big deal. I look great in anything. No problem. I'm so happy. Don't worry about it, girl.
When she said, I look great in anything, I was like, oh, fuck off. And Jamie's like, oh my God, thank you. So Melissa goes back to the table and she goes, so, she burned my dress, but it's okay. It's okay. I'm just going to go to the bathroom real quick. I'm just going to go. And then Michaela is like, oh my God, I'm coming. Or Taylor. Is like, I'm coming with you. I'm going to come with you. I have to pee, everybody. I have to pee too. No big deal. Nobody forgot. And so they go to the bathroom where these dum-dums think that they're off mic, which of course they're not off mic. You're never off fucking mic, right? So they go in there and Melissa's like, she burnt my dress, the whole thing. And I said, it's no big deal.
Taylor goes, oh my God. And Jamie's like, oh, I was so ready to get screamed out. And she was just so lovely and so nice and totally fine. It almost makes me feel worse because she's so nice.
Oh my God, she did that to your dress? Then I do not want her to have my dress, my fucking coat Gaia. She goes, if that coat Gaia gets ruined, mine, I will kill her. Both of ours. We both have coat Gaia. Okay, well, if she ruins my coat Gaia, I'm going to fucking kill her. If she does your coat Gaia, I'm going to not kill her, but I'll let you kill her. But I will tell the cops that I don't know anything about you killing her. I hope we get to kill her. Melissa's like, but I said it's going to be okay. And she's like, and then they're going to be like, these are like the nicest people ever. Yeah, they're going to love us.
It's like, whoa. Yeah.
Whoa.
Remember when Michaela spilled wine on your cult Gaia? Oh my God. And that cult Gaia was ruined? Yeah, your cult Gaia was ruined. I fucking hate that bitch. I mean, we never have fights. We get along. We're the best friends ever. We don't have to even think about the cult Gaia issues of our past. We love each other.
I hope she dies. I'm going to poop on her grave when she dies. We should kill her. Tiny cuts. Poison. Classy women use poison. Cult Gaia women use poison. Wow, Taylor. Dude, that was dark.
I listen to podcasts.
Do you think we can recruit Margot into Cult Gaia? Yes, bring her into Cult Gaia tonight. Candlelit ceremony at 12:07 p.m. A.M.
Margot, get over here. You look 23. Can you steam? You're in.
Have you heard of Cult Gaia? Would you like to put on a dress from Cult Gaia? You're in. Now come to San Capistrano.
So now they're basically doing like fun times. So they go to the beach. It's beautiful. It's like beach picnic day. Margot's super proud of herself because she gets to, you know, she's doing so good on service. And then the guests are snorkeling. And Melissa
and Jamie's like, getting frustrated because she's trying to, she's still waiting to find out about Olaf. Like, do I have a job? Like, this job is ending in 2 days. Am I going to have a job after this? And Culver still's not heard anything.
And he does text Olaf, but he gets the three blinking lights again, like responding. So then Serena is like, so I need to have a talk with Keith Stone. And Aisha's like, are you going to be all right? And
Wait. Before Serena wants to talk with Keith Stone, another epic underwater moment. A little silverfish just swimming along on the bottom of the sea.
Oh,
what could go wrong? And then out of nowhere, emerging from the sand, Tamra Judgefish jumps out and just eats this little fish. It was like a monkfish or something like that. It was amazing. I was like, wow, this episode has it all. I went back and watched that 3 times.
That was so scary. And I did not know there were fish like that. It's like a flat fish and it hides under the sand. It like burrows under there. And then it just flaps up and his mouth flaps open and he just like smacks it like a Precision. Venus flytrap, like the Audrey 2 of fish.
The ocean is scary. Harsh.
The ocean
Could you imagine,
is fucking scary.
Like, it is a horror movie. Could you imagine, you're just walking on the sidewalk, and the sidewalk suddenly opens up, and something under the sidewalk just eats you. Like, at the end, it's just over like that. Like, that is a horrific way to live your life.
I mean, we're human, so is that really a lot better? It's really not. Let's be honest. I mean, there's nothing that eats us, but there's car crashes, fire, you know, lots of tragedy. Get on Twitter. Yeah. Okay. You'll see a lot on there. It's the Wild West over there on X. So she calls Joao down and he's pouting and she's like, are you all right? And he's like, yes. And he's like, can I have some Zimnex? Getting a little teary, but I'm sure I'll be fine.
So, now Zarina's, like, feeling sad. She's like, you know, she's like, the whole season, Gerard's been here for me, and now he's different, and I don't know if the date was a trigger. Yes, it was. And, you know, I opened something up, but at the end of the day, it's getting a little bit lonely here in the teppanyaki stand. So, then we cut back to the crab. The crab that was eating the fish head, they cut back to it, still eating the fish head. So, like, real dark aquatic shit this episode.
So Culver's still texting Olaf. Aisha goes, oh, is there red wine glasses on the table? And Marge goes, yeah, glasses? Yeah, there's glasses there. She goes, did I tell you that? No, I really like that you did that. Because that's the right answer.
So...
You really turned Margot into a superstar, putting wine glasses on the table for dinner. That's pretty impressive.
Well, Laura probably would have put out chalices. Like, no, it's good. So
you just want red wine glass? Well, fine. If this is how you do.
Fine, you know.
Okay.
Okay, that's fine. That's not how we do it.
Whatever. If this is how you do, it's okay.
So Jason is meanwhile in the crew mess and he's talking about how he really doesn't want Keith Stone to be part of Teppanyaki. And I actually kind of agree with him because it's supposed to be upscale, even though it's a ridiculous request in the first place, but it's supposed to be upscale and he thinks it's a deflection. And it's like, he thinks that like Zarina wants to have a deflection off herself, but like, she's got to just do it, you know? And so
normally I would agree, but this is not a deflection. This is a training that she does not have. It's not like saying you have to do 10 courses. That's within her job description. This is like acrobatics. So no, you are wrong on this one. And I hate saying that to you, but you've crashed into restaurants on the news.
But I think, yes, but I think he's also sized up these people. And you know, Melissa and Taylor and Michaela and the other one are just going to be like, It was a man dressed as a wig at dinner. Like, I don't get it. Like,
oh, I think he's right about not using Culver. I think he's wrong about forcing her to do teppanyaki if she doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's
like, he needs to hire somebody. Like, he needs to tell them, no, we don't do that or whatever.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, in the case of Keith Stone, I think he's right. This is not a Keith Stone moment.
Yeah.
So, anyway, Zarina finds out that there will be no Keith Stone, and she's pissed. She's really pissed. And so then Jason's like, so there's going to be an onion stack, right? She's like, nope, won't do it. Absolutely won't do it. Her, like, revenge is, if you don't give me Keith Stone, I'm not going to make a tower of onions.
Yeah, and he says, I'm not going to do it is not an answer on this boat. It can be done. It will be done. I'm going off the Richter scale now. I was like, oh, okay.
Over an onion volcano.
Yeah. You're going to fire a chef who's done literally nothing wrong all season over a teppanyaki.
She's like, I will not do a mountain of onion. I will not do an onion volcano. However, I will stack several tomahawks together and make a little fire on top. That I can do, yes.
Oh my gosh, what a show. Well, this was super fun, everybody. Thanks so much for being here. Next week is the season finale. Okay, it's a 2-hour season finale. So it's still going to be 2 episodes, probably, knowing us. But we will be here. Thank you for being with us. We love you guys. We'll talk to you next time. And thank you to everybody watching on video. Hi, YouTube. Hi.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
Sipped Some Scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
Ruru LaRue.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie, my favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We want to hang with Liz Lang.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.